As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2020. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wendy Glick, Executive Director, Catholic Charities of Wichita. Welcome to Issues 2020.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
Again, we've done this a couple of times. I want to talk about you for just a minute. How long have you been in this job, Wendy?
In this particular role as the executive director for about 4.5 years, I actually first got into the social service business about 22 years ago, though. So I'm like a bad penny. I just keep showing back up and hanging in there. And I don't have any plans to retire anytime soon. So hopefully you and I will get to have a couple more of these conversations over the years.
Well, when you're only 39 years old, you shouldn't even be thinking about
thank
that.
You.
Now, what did you do before this position? Was it Lord's Diner?
Yeah, I was at the Lord's Diner for a little over 9 years, first as the volunteer coordinator and then as the executive director. Left there in 2011 and came to Catholic Charities, first as director of development and was in charge of fundraising, and then moved into my current role in April of 2016.
And before that, way back there, someplace you were a business person or business owner, something like that, right?
Yeah. My husband and family. We own 2 roller skating rinks, so here in the Wichita area. So we sold those back in 1995, and I did the stay-at-home mom thing for a couple of years, and then in 1998 got into the arena of social service and have loved every minute of it. Really came to social service work to just feel better about myself and be able to give back to our community and to the world, and like many who are involved in this field or who volunteer, you receive much more than what you give. And so it's a wonderful career. And I would encourage young people that are embarking on trying to figure out what they want to be when they grow up to consider working in the field of social service, because sometimes the pay is not so great, but the rewards are grand.
I'd like to pry just a little deeper, because I don't know. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in the Wichita Derby area.
Oh, okay.
I was born back on the East Coast in Pennsylvania, but for the roller skating business, my family moved out here when I was about 4 years old. So I call Wichita home.
So you rolled out here then?
Literally rolled out here and kept rolling for a lot of years. Went away to college in the state of Missouri and got a degree in communications and was going to pursue some sort of journalism career, and the ties to the family business were just a little bit too strong to break. And so after college, did that for about 15 years.
I think we can probably find you a little part-time position down here if you want to do some.
Well, maybe when I get ready to retire, that would be fun. I would enjoy that. I'm not sure I like the hours that you have to have, though, at least your shift.
Okay. Well, give us an idea, a little bit of the scope of your response or your responsibilities, Wendy. How many programs, services under the Catholic Charities umbrella? You don't have to tell me what they are. Just an idea.
Sure.
How big this
sure.
Is.
So we are almost a $9 million organization. That's our annual budget. We have 13 programs. We do everything from addressing hunger and homelessness to domestic violence, providing counseling, working with immigrants, also serving adults with disabilities and seniors with Alzheimer's. So a lot of different irons in the fire. Our service delivery area is the 25 counties of the Diocese of Wichita. Most of our programs are here in the Sedgwick County area, but we also have a satellite office in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and we do a lot of work in the 11 counties in southeast Kansas addressing homeless prevention. There are not homeless shelters or not a lot of homeless shelters in that part of the state, and so we've secured quite a few federal dollars in order to be the safety net for people before they become homeless in helping them with rent and utilities. So a wide variety of services. We are a separately incorporated 501c3 from the Diocese of Wichita. I do have regular meetings with the bishop and the vicar general, but I ultimately report to a board of directors, and the gifts that people give to Catholic Charities of Wichita stay within the Catholic Charities family to provide the social services to the variety of programs that we have. So we don't have money that goes to the church. It stays within, again, our scope of work within those 25 counties.
And we're gonna dig into a couple of those programs here in a minute. But how many employees do you actually have, Wendy?
We have about 130 part-time or full-time, and an additional 20 part-time or PRNs. We go from one program that has one employee to another program that has about 35 employees. So we are an equal opportunity employer. About 80% of those who work for us are not Catholic. So that's surprising to people. That same statistic is true of the people that we serve. We serve people of all faiths, and about 80% of them also reveal or share with us that they're of a different faith persuasion than the Catholic doctrines. So, and that's okay. That's not what we're here to judge about. We're here to serve.
Any idea how many volunteers that help you out in a year's time? You ever counted them?
Oh, absolutely. We have just under 1,000 volunteers.
Wow.
We have quite a few groups that come into some of our programs on an episodic basis, a lot around holiday giving and parties and things like that. Ongoing volunteers, we're probably right about half that number for consistent people that come weekly or monthly, so around 500 that are on a regular basis. Because of the populations that we serve, the folks that work with those populations have to be pretty trained and educated. And so we don't have a lot of volunteer roles. That's one of the things I miss from my days at the Lord's Diner, is they just had thousands and thousands of volunteers, and it was so much fun to work with those volunteers and feel that joy. And I certainly feel that with our volunteers here at Catholic Charities as well. We just don't have the volume that that the Lord's Diner does.
You know, the coronavirus has changed lives and ended lives around the globe, and of course here in Kansas.
Yeah.
And with you, first of all, just give me a general statement. What's the general impact on Catholic Charities from the pandemic?
Yeah, it's been huge. Back in early March, when we started to hear about COVID-19 and in other parts of the country, I brought my executive senior leadership team together, and we started to brainstorm the different ways that we were going to address the situation, try to mitigate the risk as far as it coming into our programs and affecting our staff and clients. I was even looking at some old emails that I sent a couple of days ago, and one was out to everybody in Catholic Charities staff that says, if and when the COVID-19 virus comes to our community, and so it's not if and when, it's here now. We, from the get-go, were identified as essential service providers, so we never shut down. All of our programs have stayed open. We've continued to serve. We've had to change our delivery models in some ways in some of our programs in order to stay true to the coronavirus protocols, in order to, again, keep it out of our programs and keep our staff and our clients healthy. But I can say I'm so proud of everybody that works for us, because, again, right from the get-go, they were dedicated to serve and put their own safety and health on the line to continue to be there for those who come to us in need. So that continues to today. I would say that it's taking an emotional toll on our staff, just because of having to align with the protocols. It has changed how we do our work, and in some ways, that's really hard for some of the staff to manage.
Let's just talk about impact on specific programs. What about your daily bread food pantry?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So our Daily Bread is a food pantry that we operate. It's at 2825 South Hillside. We do take information from those who come, like the head of household, how many people are in their family, just demographic information, but we don't turn anybody away. We limit folks to come just one time a month, and we used to operate in what we call the client choice model, which is the most respectful of models, where the clients could actually come in and shop from our kind of mini grocery store and select the food items that their families really enjoyed eating, or to take into account food allergies and different things like that. When COVID hit, we had to change that delivery model. We are now operating as a drive-through, so they still come up and drive up, and we still collect all that demographic information. But once we know what their family size is, we have prepackaged grocery bags full of vegetables and meat items and pastas and breakfast items and things like that. The number of people we are serving through our Daily Bread has doubled. So a typical month used to be about 1,200 families. Now we're serving about 2,500 families, between 7,000 and 8,000 individuals a month. Our greatest partner at the food pantry is the Kansas Food Bank. Typically, we have gotten food from them about once a week. We would go pick up on Mondays when the pantry's closed and stock our shelves and distribute on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and do inventory on Friday and go back again the following Monday to pick up more food. We are now going daily to pick up food. And it's just amazing how appreciative people are, but the need is great. And one of the questions that we've added to our screening process is, why are you coming? And for many, it's been loss of income, a loss of job due to COVID. And so we really feel like it's an important essential service, and the increase is due to the virus.
You're listening to Issues 2020 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is Wendy Glick, Executive Director, Catholic Charities of Wichita. Wendy, has the pandemic had an impact on your domestic violence hotline?
It has. And actually, the number of calls has decreased. And we have a good explanation for that. Back in March, when the pandemic hit, we again started looking at our numbers to our crisis call. Typically, we had about 900 calls a month. In April, we had 559. So it dropped significantly. We had a little bit of a spike again in May and June. But then since July, we've been back in in that 550 to 600 number to our crisis call hotline. We know that with the stay-at-home orders, you know, families along with the abuser are staying in the home. So there's not as many opportunities for the victim to be able to access the hotline or access services. For those who are coming into shelter, who are making their way, we are seeing an increase in the severity of the violence that they've experienced, because the bruises aren't being seen because, you know, they can't go out much. More of the abusers are inflicting their pain, I guess, in more visible areas of the body. And, and we're just seeing more and more severity, more and more psychological trauma. Seeing, again, the kids are staying home. They did last year when school was canceled. And so we're our children's counselor is much busier dealing with the children who have seen dad abuse mom, and acting out emotionally and physically toward their siblings in the same ways that they observe those relationships happening in their home. So it's really difficult for the staff, and that Harbor House is probably the program that, although they haven't had to do a lot of big changes to their service delivery, not like our Daily Bread had to, going from the client choice model to a drive-through model, but by keeping masks on and not being able to hug people and not being able to have that physical contact with the victims and the children, it's really affecting our ability to provide the caring and the comfort and the hope. And so what we're actually seeing is folks that come into shelter are having to stay longer because they're just not getting that emotional support, because we have to social distance. And right. A lot of times the emotional growth comes from, you know, learning what appropriate touch is and being able to be comforted in a physical way.
And, you know, in that regard, a huge fundraiser you do every year, Cruise Night, and you had to cancel that this year.
Yeah, we did. We typically host about 600 people on a Sunday evening. Last year, we had our most successful Cruise Night ever. We got it in. It was on February 25th, I believe, the last Sunday in February, right before COVID hit, and we grossed over $300,000. Mm-hmm. Extremely successful, and it supports the work of our two shelters. And we made the difficult decision about 2 weeks ago that we're docking Cruise Night for 2021.
Docking?
Just like all the cruise lines, around the world are not cruising, neither will Cruise Night. So we're sad about that. It's a fun night. Not only does it raise a lot of money, but it also builds a lot of awareness among the attendees for the need of both Harbor House and St. Anthony Family Shelter in our community, and what victims of domestic violence and homeless families experience on their journey to make their situation better. And so we're trying to figure out how we can fill that gap, both financially and educationally, to reach out to people to partner with us.
Have you canceled other fundraisers? Is this the big one?
We have a summer fundraiser that's not on as grand a scale as Cruise Night. It used to be called Bags to Riches. It was mainly focused on women and purses. We did have it as a virtual event this year. We had it in August instead of July because it just took us a little bit longer to get it organized. It actually was very successful and raised more money than what our in-person event did. I'd like to say it was easier to put together, but it really wasn't. It was harder because it was all new to us, this virtual platform. form. But we didn't feel like a virtual event would do Cruise Night justice. So much of what is great about Cruise Night is the networking and again, that face-to-face contact. And we didn't want to do Cruise Night in a virtual format and have people leave with a bad taste and then not support it in future years. So we plan to bring it back in 2022. Don't anybody steal the concept, because it will return. But we just felt like, you know, we don't know what's going to, our world's going to be like in February. And we think for a while people are just going to be cautious about gathering in large groups.
Talk a bit, Wendy, talk a little bit about demand for your mental health services.
Yeah, that's one of the programs that actually grew since COVID started. Folks are dealing with depression and an anxiety. They always have, but it's been heightened through COVID. We had been slow to adopt telehealth or teletherapy, and COVID forced us to do it. And there are still some who have come to our counseling program, which is called CANA Counseling. We focus on marriage and family relationships, as well as anxiety and depression are kind of our areas of expertise. And some people chose not to come if they couldn't do it face-to-face, but many chose to go on to the telehealth platform. And we adopted a telehealth platform that is HIPAA-compliant, and we can hook up to anybody's phone and connect them with one of our counselors and do all of the paperwork in fillable documents, you know, that we can just email out to you. And actually, that program is busier than ever. It's a relatively small program. We have four clinicians, but they are keeping a busy load of clients and feel really good about what they're doing. But again, dealing with a lot of anxiety and depression as it relates to the challenges of COVID.
A lot of that going around. Hey, before everything gets away from me, I got a couple more questions. How many people do you think you help in a year's time, Wendy?
This year, our numbers are right at 18,000, which is an increase of about 4,000 over the previous year. And again, it's thanks to COVID. And we're just really, really pleased that we've been able to be there for people in our community during this difficult time.
What are your funding needs? I think you pretty well expressed them, but how can our listeners help you out? Let me put it that way.
Yeah, so we have been very blessed to get some federal and state and county dollars through different CARES grants that I'm sure you've heard about. But those have been very restricted to addressing COVID. One of the things that money has provided is for us to upgrade our technology, because not only are we now using our computers and needing cameras for our meetings, but we're educating kiddos in our shelters and, you know, we're needing Wi-Fi and all of those kinds of things. So those grants have provided for that, but they haven't provided for our day-to-day operational needs. And we're cooking more meals. We're, just keeping more lights on because there's more people in the shelters. There's more people accessing technology in the way of telehealth. And all of that has pushed our utility costs up, just our basic operational needs. So we have our annual Christmas fundraiser that we do at year end. We send out a lot of direct mail pieces. But you can also go on our website, which is CatholicCharitiesWichita.org, and go to the donate page. And our year-end campaign is called the Faithful Servant Fund.
Okay.
And any amount donated to the Faithful Servant Fund is used here within our agency to wherever the greatest need is.
Do you need any volunteers? You need any people to come down and help you?
Yeah, because of COVID, we've stopped taking any new volunteers for right now.
Stepping back from that for a while. Okay.
Yeah, stepping back from that for a while. We have our volunteers who have been coming for a long time, and they're screened and are familiar with our protocols, and so we still do have volunteers working in the programs, but we're not taking in any new ones right now. We're going to need Christmas gifts because kiddo gifts, toys, because we do have the kids in shelter and we want them to have a happy Christmas. And again, on that website, we have a full wish list on there, if it, ways to donate. And it's called Santa's Workshop, and there's a listing of toys and other items that we would love to have people shop for us. We get a lot of Amazon packages. We know people are shopping for us already because they're having it just shipped right directly to us so that they can do the contactless kind of donating, and our UPS guy comes on a daily basis, and we're always happy to see him.
Oh, yes, I'm going to have to interrupt you because that's all we have time for, but I think we've covered covered most of the bases. And you know, the thing is, keep your spirits up down there. It's tough. And I know how it is for you, the kind of work you're doing, but we appreciate what you're doing. And tell everybody, just keep your chin up, because things are going to get better one of these days soon, I hope. And Wendy, as always, thanks for being with us and sharing your information. Our guest, Wendy Glick, Executive Director, Catholic Charities of Wichita. That's all for this edition of Issues 2020. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.